My phone said 6.
That was a motion to amend, and then
yeah,
now
you
need
a
motion
for the actual agenda.
Well, that motion was actually made, so all you need is to vote on that.
Okay. Can we vote on the revised agenda, please? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Now, let's move forward with the first item that's on the agenda to the agenda to include a recognition of the employee of the month. Commissioner Zapatos, since you made that motion.
Well, I'm actually going to throw it, this is Michelle for the record, I'm going to throw it to Michelle, because she seems to know our staff very, very well. I have met
to a background. Helena is a swim instructor at the pool, and she teaches 4 days a week. She would have loved, actually, to have been here tonight. She really was excited, but she volunteers at the hospital, I believe, on Mondays and Wednesdays. So she could not be here tonight. So I'll be sure to give this to her. But Helena started with us right after the light sleep back in the fall. And she trained for 2 months, and now she's teaching classes by herself. And we get a ton of recommendations for her. When people call and want to register for classes, they specifically ask for her. And so she's been a true asset to the pool and is a super hard worker and is always willing to. She helps with the events, every event she's there. And she's a very hard worker, especially with cleaning up, for sure, which is super nice. She's a very hard worker, so. Yeah, so I'll be glad to give it to her.
Yeah.
So I'll give her a thank you card and a little special surprise for me.
Okay, read your passage. All right, thank you very much. And we'd like to make a note that we want to add that particular item to the agenda going forward above citizen comments as a regular item. Okay, and now we're going to have, do we have any citizen comments?
Dave Pookie.
Okay. Mr. Pookie, before you speak, the board would like to also acknowledge you and the great work that you've done, and I'm putting your card in. It's like backwards from the Oscars. I put your card in the envelope for your work. Most recently, you fixed a very bad door. And we really, really appreciate your hard work and dedication and unwavering commitment to the pool. So, with that.
That just saves money out of the budget.
And you get to spend more time with me.
It's a guaranteed fix, and it's got actual, so if there's ever a problem in the future, the door that had the hinge issues, there's steps to recovery on that. So it's. Should never need anything.
Okay.
So, good for 15 years, guaranteed.
All right, we'll hold it.
Maybe longer if it's going to run longer.
And did you have anything particular?
Yeah, I have a couple of issues. One short one is that I couldn't find the posting of this meeting tonight anywhere. I guess you had to go online to find out that we were having a meeting tonight, but there was no posting for it at the pool this morning when I got there. It wasn't up by the time I left it anyway. And there's none outside the door here.
That's my fault. I forgot to put it on our door at the pool. Somebody did it in my absence when I got there this afternoon at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Was that you, Michelle? Somebody did
so,
it.
Yeah, I asked.
And the posting that should be on this door is Andrew LaRue's responsibility because I emailed the notice to him as a standard procedure, so somebody here must have dropped the ball on that.
Yeah, I had to ask him, if this was a meeting, this is meeting day and stuff like that. He said, yes, it was, so that's how I did it. So he was, and he probably is the one that had posted the notice. And then the second thing is Saturday mornings are quite busy. I've actually switched my schedule to get in there just right at 9. I'm sitting at the pool's edge at 9:05, ready to go in, just to try to get Saturday swimming out of the way now, and I can swim on Saturdays, and which is good. It's good to see that it's busy. And I try to grab a lane before it gets to where it's, you know, knee deep in people. But another issue with happened this week where I asked the lifeguard when he came out on deck if lane one was being rented or was available. And he called on his walkie-talkie to the assistant manager and said, no, it's not being rented, so go ahead and use it. And then three laps later got booted out of it because somebody was there to sign up for a rent. And so I think that, you know, if I don't understand the rental policy, I'm trying to deal with it, but it's aggravating at best. And sometimes, especially during crowded times, that if there was, I don't know if it's in there now, but there should be some way to, rental should be in advance. And if they're not there within 10 minutes or whatever time, because I waited until like five after nine to start swimming. If they're not there within a certain amount of time, like 5 or 10 minutes, then that should be forfeited and allow other people to use the lane at that point. Because it's like you go to an appointment, you have a schedule with the doctor or the dentist, you know, they get irate if you're late. But the main thing is I get booted out of the lane, and I don't know that whether that was done in front, you know, the rental occurred after I was in the lane or if it occurred prior to, but I'd like to see the board adopt a policy that, you know, lane rental should be in advance of use so that you can go out and then put a sign on the lane so people don't use it if it's scheduled from 9 until noon or whatever on a Saturday morning, that the lane be marked off so people don't get the wrong idea. I don't even think staff knew whether that lane was to be rented, because the answer I got back, because that's what I've been doing, is asking first thing off, and it appears that they weren't under the impression that it was going to be rented either, so they let me go ahead and swim in it, and then booted me out 3 laps later. And so I ended up swimming in a lane two with several other people. And so I don't know what the policy is, but I would think that for lane rentals, now that we're busier, that there should be prior rental off, you know, sign up for prior to the time when it's supposed to be used, and then if it's vacant, if they don't show up within 10 minutes after the scheduled time, then it gets forfeited so other people can use the lane so that we can make active use of the water while it's available. That's it.
Okay, thank you. And
I just have a question for Michelle on that. That's an answer for the driver. I'm curious, like, do we utilize like the sandwich board at all, saying welcome lane one's being in use between the summers and ever?
Yeah, so we hadn't been using the sandwich board. They were supposed to, the first thing that we did months ago was we put new signs at the end of the lanes, and they're supposed to write on there with a dry erase, this lane is rented from this time to this time. But we were finding that people were not paying attention to, because they're on top of the lane rip, I mean, on top of the starting blocks, or right beside, now the starting blocks are gone, but they're right beside, so people weren't paying attention to, they were getting in on this end and not on that end, they weren't paying attention. So we were supposed to implement this starting this past Saturday, but the ball got dropped. I called it, I went back and looked at my phone, I called it 9:09 a.m. to make sure on Saturday that they had put the sandwich board out to say that the lane had been reserved from 9 to 1 by Yuki. And she did rent the pool months ago. I mean, like, she rents it way ahead usually. And so when I called at 9:09 a.m., I asked Raven if she had remembered to put the sandwich board out, and they're supposed to put it out. Saturday was maybe the first time. And she told me that she'd forgotten to do it. So I asked her to put a reminder on her telephone for next Saturday so that it would ring in case I forgot to call her to remind her to put it out. And so when I called her at 9:09, she said that the Yuki was already there and in the lane. And so she said that I guess there's no point in putting it out because she's already in the lane. And I was like, okay, so next Saturday you're going to put this out, because next Saturday I think we've got Yuki in one lane and I think a scuba diver group in lane, the second lane. So
I think that would be really helpful for people if they know when you walk in the facility, they do quick, you just get, you can draw attention to it. I think that would alleviate frustration.
It'll help the staff too, because they have to, you know, go and like look in the computer and look at the calendars. Like, it takes a few minutes, you have to go into the calendar. And so I've asked her to make sure that she does that and puts it in.
So this calendar that's in the computer, is it possible to print out like a day at a time and have that be something that is also a maybe put in the locker rooms on the way out so people can see?
No, because it has, it's very, how do you say it, convoluted? It has all, like, the swim lessons are in there, and it's very hard to read. It would not, it's not an easy read thing for us, let alone for the public to understand, because it doesn't say shallow and deep. I mean, it's just complicated.
Is it the red one? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we were doing the signage on the other end, on the lane rib, on the starting block end, the assistant manager were coming in and, like, printing, but they were doing it a week ahead of time, but then we could have gotten rentals, you know, by Wednesday or Saturday. And so, anyway, I'm trying to figure out
a
way.
What about the
flag? What?
Like, you know, Nordstrom Rack, this is Commissioner Gangler. Nordstrom Rack uses a flag to flag you if you're next in line. I'm wondering if you use a flag at the end of the, at each side or one end by the starting blocks or something to indicate that, you know, maybe you could say, you know, rented or something so that, you know, because I know that I used to do that too. I would ask the guard, and, you know, and sometimes they may or may not know, but it would be, I mean, I think it would help, and I'm sure that Dave isn't the only person who's been challenged by
in
addition to the sandwich board.
Yes, the sandwich board would just say lane one rented from 9 to 1.
Right.
And then all the other lanes. My idea was for them to put it next to the tall lifeguard stand because it's halfway between, and it also needs to be out of the way because it's such a big sandwich board. But I don't know about a flag. We'd have to see how we would hang.
I'm just trying to have one of those, like, little pennant flags, like on a stick. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just an idea. Just something visual, because I think that, I mean, you're going to be challenged no matter where, you know, if you put it in the lobby. People might not see it. If you put it in each locker room, then you have to change it each time. If you put it on the deck, where you're gonna, you'd have to put it like right in front of the aquarium, because otherwise you've got people who go around each side. So.
Yeah.
But.
Well, it used to be in the summertime to reserve lanes for lessons and other user groups and stuff, that because summertime activities there. A cone's placed on both ends, the shallow end and the deep end. With just painted on it that was reserved.
Well, when we get the new blocks, there's going to be cones on the starting blocks all the time, because whenever they're not being allowed to be used by a swim instructor, we don't want kids going off the starting blocks, so we're going to have cones on that end at least. But we need something that shows the time, because like the diving group that's coming Saturday, I believe, only has it reserved from 11 to 1, and the staff have to be like, oh, it's 1 o'clock, I need to remove the cone. So that I'm trying to limit the steps it takes for these guys. And I think the sandwich board literally just saying, and all they have to do is look at it and tell a person, oh, it looks like it's rented from 9 to 1, and this lane is rented from 11 to 1. That'll be an easier fix.
And what is the policy regarding rentals? I mean, how... Like, if I came in on Saturday morning and had not rented a lane and wanted to rent a lane for, you know, I don't know, something, would I be able to do that, or do you?
Unless I'm there, I'm the only person that does rentals.
Okay.
Nobody else is allowed to do them but me.
Okay. And generally, if you were there, would you do that, or do you need some sort of...
It depends on the situation and what I already have rented, but that doesn't typically happen.
Okay. All right. So... just to make sure that we answer Mr. Cookie's question on what the procedure is, so it would depend. Okay, all right, any other comments? Excellent, it is 6:20, and what am I looking for? Motion about consent agenda.
Voted which way for the record. So I'm just looking at the very last page of the minutes, and it says Gankler nominated Zach to the Finance Committee meeting position, blah, 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 accepted by a vote of 401, Zach was elected. So if we can just designate what the vote is for the record, I think that would be good.
The one?
Well, it might be 4-1, it could be 3-1-1 or something.
I understand. Yes. But in this case, we're talking about...
I'm not worried about it.
Four, okay.
This is an abstention, so it's not as, but for, you know...
Going forward, you would like to see a breakdown.
Of all five, or just
no,
the
if there's
ones?
No, if the board votes unanimously, no problem. If, however, somebody decides to vote either negative or more than one people, or decides to abstain, then having a breakdown. So, and I see what you're saying. No, you could just, well, I guess it depends. If, you know, one person votes for it and four people vote against it, you'd be better off to do Gangler says yes and everyone else voted no or something. I don't know, what are your thoughts, Vanessa?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like in this case, it would just be 401 with Zapdos abstaining. It, you know, if it's very clear cut, now if it's 3-2, you're gonna have to list the people.
On both numbers.
Yeah, on yeas and nays.
Well, Vanessa, how do you?
Yeah, yeah. 3-2.
Well, you could list the two, and then the other three would be.
I
don't think we need to micromanage that.
However, you would like to do it so that it's just clear.
It's very clear who voted what.
All right.
So, okay.
I'm not particular.
Okay. So you have to.
No, it's just a comment on this.
I don't know. Okay. All right. So all those in favor of approving the minutes.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? No. Okay.
Passed. Who seconded?
That was Jerry.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm now looking for a motion to approve the vouchers.
Commissioner Frangello Anderson makes a motion to approve the vouchers.
Commissioner Shepard seconds.
Do we have any discussion on the vouchers? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of approving the vouchers say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Excellent. All right, it is 6:22. And we're moving on to reports. Commissioner reports. Commissioner Zappadol.
Commissioner Zappadol, for record, I attended a finance committee meeting on 2/26/18, and it was really productive. I'll comment more on the finance reports. The audit is moving much slower than originally indicated because, unfortunately, the auditor that was assigned to us has been away on leave, and they're scrambling to find a new auditor for us. So there's a reason behind it, which, yay, you know, it's not just normal, so this is abnormal. And I attended the wonderful February Candyland, which was fun. End of my report.
Thank you. Commissioner Frangello Anderson.
I also attended the Finance Committee my very first time. I was very excited.
You were excited?
It was nice. Also attended the Candyland event and plan to be at the wonderful egg hunt on Saturday. And I know that it's about 3 days premature, but I do want to congratulate Michelle for the 15th of March. Will be 1 year with us.
Beware the eye of the March.
No, that was kind of a bad thing to start with. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you. Okay, Commissioner Newfer, report.
This is Commissioner Newfer, and I did attend the programming meeting on March 25th, and also went to the Candyland event, and it was very normal.
So it's
no one moves.
So it was. I hope that's something we'll continue in the future. Although I'm thinking maybe we should give them the candy after the dinner. But other than that, I thought it was a darling thing. That's it.
Okay. And Commissioner Shipman.
I attended the TPAC meeting on 2/17/18, the marketing meeting on 2/17/18 also.
My report, this is Commissioner Dinkler. So thank you, Jerry, for attending the finance meeting. I was out of town. Thank you, Commissioner Newfer, for being present on Sunday to answer any questions. I understand you have some and comments. And thank you, Commissioner Shipman, for being there for the lighting. That was a very trying day for our graphics person. It was very chaotic and certainly not what she had intended, but you were very welcome. I went to, I don't even remember, I went to Candyland, which was so cute. What a great cake. I have been showing a picture of the cake to everybody. I mean, those kids were so happy. And I did retrieve my phone, which was absconded at Candyland because it's so adorable. Somebody just had to play with it. But it got returned to the pool, so yay. And I will be there this weekend. And that is the end of my report. Oh, and yay, Michelle.
Question.
Yes, sir.
When you say be there this weekend, there's a TPAC and the egg hunt event. Are you talking about both?
Or? I am this weekend.
No, I think that's Christine.
Oh,
I'm sorry. What TPAC? Aren't you this week?
They plan to be at TPAC.
So you're going to be at TPAC?
Yeah, I don't know about the egg hunt yet, but
okay.
I should be there at TPAC.
I don't know yet.
Okay. Still figuring out.
Okay.
One last question. Is the marketing committee meeting on Saturday as well?
Yes. The marketing committee meetings have been moved to following the TPAC meeting.
Every month.
Every month at the community center.
Unless Michelle decides otherwise.
Yes. Okay. So now we're going to move into the finance report. And we're going to
report first.
Do you want to do the report first or have Christine explain the report? Finding committee report. So, if you prefer to do that, that's fine. Okay, so, Christine, just hold on for just a few more minutes. Okay, Vanessa, please.
So, the finance meeting, just a quick recap on what we did there. We authorized the following CIP expenditures and the DA, the district administrator, computer expenditure due to failures, which we're examining. Natural Structures water slide for $11,811.80. WM Smith, the starting blocks were $17,999.97. WM Smith drain cover to $978.18. SME lighting, the LED lighting upgrade for $79.54.10. And engineering products for lockers, $2,498.76, and a DA computer because of Windows 10 compatibility issue for up to $1,000. Those are action items from the meeting. We reviewed procurement policy part 20, sent on to TPAC and WCIA, but WCIA has informed Richard that they do not review policies. I guess that must be new because they always did. But they let Richard know that they will not be doing that. So. Once we get hopefully some input back from TPAC or not, we'll be coming to BOC in that one in April with others to follow as finance gets through them. It was a long meeting, as we promised, from 4:30 till almost 8. So we are got many more, several more policies to go through, and we are scheduling them based on need and priority. So the next one we're going to be doing at the March meeting, which is the 26th of March at 5 o'clock. It will be 5:11, which I believe is a revenue policy, and 5:35, I can't remember what that is. But those are the two that are slated for on our schedule. Prevailing wage training with Brian Snur is now being coordinated with the staff, so our three staff members are indicated they really are in need of additional training on the how-to with the prevailing wage. So. Got all the dates, and so we're waiting to hear back from Brian. And when we get a time and date set that works for the staff, then I'll send out an email to all the commissioners in case any commissioners would like to attend. That's it. And I can't wait for Christine to worked so hard on this financial statement guidelines.
Indeed, and before we let you go, Christine, I just want to thank Commissioner Zapata for your work on this and for organizing the Brian Snur training. I know that well, almost so. I saw the update, so it looks like it's going to go full steam ahead, and I know everybody will just be so excited. So with that, can we run our setup for our financial statement guideline training?
This is my financial statement guideline. This is my attempt to explain what I know about these statements to everyone else. First page, I just gave my contact information, explained that we are cash basis, our software. Then I give a brief summary of each of the statements. And this is draft, so any improvements or anything else that you need explained, just let me know and I'll add it. And then first report is the balance sheet. Now balance sheet just lists all of our places that we have money, how much money of that we owe. Assets is your stuff, like you can include it to a house. The liabilities would be your mortgage, and the equity would be how much you owe. So that's the way my accounting 101 teacher talked to me, and that's how I keep putting it forward. I always list all of our bank accounts, including our portion of the King County General Fund and Capital Improvement Fund. Our building and equipment, that number I inherited with the QuickBooks account from my predecessors, and that just came with the city. We also include our change fund, which is $300. That is $150 in each till that we start with and end with each day. Undeposited funds would just be money that is sitting in the safe waiting to go to the bank. Liabilities, the only ones we ever have are, of course, our payroll liabilities, which is just labor and industries. That's the only payroll liability that Paychex does not take out every pay period. That's when they tell us how much they anticipate we're going to owe, but they leave it in our bank, and that gets taken when quarterly when the L9 report is due. And also our purchasing card accounts. I've been calling it credit card accounts all this time. I just learned over reviewing our financial policies that's called a purchasing card. Those are paid every month, but because the statement comes in the middle of the month, there's always a liability left over at the end of the month for the portion that has not been paid at that point, and that's where you see there under credit cards. I cannot change that to purchasing cards. That is a QuickBooks default right there. I try. And our, of course, our two big loans. Other than that, we are cash basis. When we pay it, we don't report things accrual, which means we don't report expenses when we get billed. We report them when we pay them. Same for income. Any questions on the balance sheet? You can email me later if there's questions.
Christine?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay, on your balance, I'll send you some clean graphics.
Yes, please.
Because it's kind of really hard to read. So on page 3 of the book, you talk about, on page 4, you're talking about liabilities. And you talk about the long-term liabilities, the bond loan payable, and the bridge loan payable. And you say in the bridge loan payable, monthly payments are $10,000. It's scheduled to be complete, and I'm guessing paid off. Okay, in May 2019.
Yay!
But I'm looking at page 16 of our packet, and I guess I'm just really not understanding. Because on page 16 of our packet, which is the balance sheet, it's showing the bridge loan payment payable to be $613,938.35, which won't be paid off in May. So what am I not getting?
I have to have the amortization schedule in front of me.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's, yeah.
The year might be a typo.
Okay, I will follow up with you. I do believe that that is correct, that we're going to be paid off on that one, the bridge loan payable in May of 2019, which at $10,000 a month is nice.
Would anyone happen to have bill scans on their phone?
Have a look.
The bill scans I sent today on the phone.
I do
the my phone's recording.
I can
see. Because we got a bridge loan
statement. Yeah.
Statement and the amortization schedule is attached to it.
And it will show me.
Okay. I apologize. So Vanessa is
oh, don't apologize. I think
Michelle. And I really like the graphs on page 4. I think it's really clear, especially thank you so much for doing this because it's a really good visual. You know, when people are trying to understand the pool and why do we have to have why do we have to establish a park district? And the importance of the district is very clear on that revenue graph when you see that 77% of the revenue comes from our property tax. I know Michelle is going to decrease that. But I just think this is really, really well done.
So I'm looking at the amortization schedule, and I believe I may not have the full amortization schedule because the last date on here is May 2019.
What is the balance
on May 2019?
The ending balance is 466,532.48 is the ending balance on May 19th.
466,532.
Yes, and 48 cents. Which means that I was not given the full amortization schedule.
That means we're not paying it off.
Which means yes. Which means that date is wrong.
Okay. Well, we'll just go back and double check.
We will update that.
Okay. This is Christine. I am looking at the revenue pie chart, and I was thinking that it might be good to have the swim lessons where it says memberships drop into classes. It says 11%, but it's my understanding that swim lessons are a pretty big portion of that. Maybe it might be worth. It might be worth showing the swim lessons. I'm just looking at the pie chart. Just at the pie chart.
That's just an example.
This is the how to read.
Yeah, it's just because when you were talking, Commissioner Gilbert, when you were talking about the property tax, the 77%,
yeah.
It kind of educates the public. But I know that I'm telling the public how important school lessons are to our bottom line. And I'm assuming others have done the same as well.
Right, so similar to the graphs on page 34 of the packet where Christine had included the scholarship grants, we think that it would be good because this is just a how to read it.
Yeah.
So, you think?
Well, I'm thinking that, actually what I'm thinking, or a little bit where this is going is, this is so good that I actually think we should have something like this up at the front desk where people can look.
And not see it.
Yeah, and so if the general public is going to look at it, they might want to see that particular breakout. That's
just,
all.
Yeah.
My only concern, Mr. Commissioner Gangler, is that it could change. But I'm happy, you know, like it could be during the summer, perhaps swim lessons are.
Would be an
annual. This is just based on the budget.
Okay.
So I just yeah. If you look at the budget, the example budget report, you'll see that all of the categories are collapsed.
Oh, so you just
into,
did it for the
property tax, sales tax, merchandise, culture and recreation.
Oh, okay.
So everything under that is just collapsed under its heading. So I can
right. And this is for a year? Did you do this? just...
I just based it on the 2018 budget.
Yeah. On the 2018 budget?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So just so you know, Christine, it's like, for example, swim classes are budgeted at $60,000. Mm-hmm. Rentals are like $91,000. Mm-hmm. So it may not, you know, it'll be a small, it may not be as large a pie as what you're showing.
Well, I was,
I saw the
rentals and I was actually a little surprised, you know, surprised at the size of the pie slice. So it was good to see that.
Yeah, so swim lessons would be less than that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
just to be clear.
Yeah, because you would have to split it out. But
that's good.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
But it'll be
swim
lessons, lifeguard classes,
because
those all go into
swim. Yeah. I just think people see it as a function. But also, I've been saying how important swim lessons are. You wouldn't believe how important swim lessons are. So.
When you do your swim lessons, Christine, in your pie chart, is scholarships considered a revenue and an expense in both of these?
It just depends on if it's in that $60,000.
It's not. It's separate because we have the grant swim lessons is separate. So, you know, if you want to put, I don't know how you, whether this is possible, and whether you put the 60 and the 10 and the 10. Because it would be 10 for Kaiser swim lesson scholarship, 10 for Tukwila scholarship, and then 60 for the, so the actually 80.
I guess it depends. I mean, I don't know, Christine.
Well, Kaiser is in contributions 2%.
So for Christine Newfers, for your purposes, are you trying to tell people how important swim lessons are for the revenue?
Yes.
Okay. In which case, we shouldn't include scholarships.
Well, Kaiser is revenue. We get $10,000. We're actually paid for it. Someone else is paid.
But then why should that? Because we pay $10,000 as well.
We actually don't pay.
Well, we
just expand. But the Kaiser is actually received. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So that's different than the. I know it gets a little bit.
We're getting away. Okay.
I wasn't considering scholarships.
Any of my
comments. I just wanted to help see the importance of swim lessons to the revenue stream.
I think that what this shows is the importance of property tax.
It certainly does.
Okay. Are there any other comments or questions regarding this amazing document that you did, Christine? Really excellent.
Christine, do you want to go through the rest of it? Do you have an opportunity to go through the rest of it?
Will there be anything further on the budget report? I think this crew is so in tune with our budget.
Oh, there's just a typo under life cycle.
Oh, yes, where?
At the very bottom sentence. It says,
oh, I see.
Life cycle replacement.
Uh-huh.
CYCLE.
Okay. exactly like the vouchers, except that it doesn't get pre-approved before the money's taken. It gets reported post payment.
Have one question. Is there any thinking of putting this online on our website?
Yes, we need to get the documents so we can put it up on the website, absolutely.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, so I mean right now it's, you know, like page one, you know, it's like one page.
But if you print that, this is a Word.
It's a Word.
Okay. So I believe if you print it as a booklet in Word as a PDF, this is doable.
Sure it is. I just don't know. I can just copy and paste it into a regular Word document.
No, you don't need to do that. Just send me the file.
I'll just send it.
You're going to take care of it?
I will take care of part of it. I will take care of making a PDF that is legible as a booklet.
To be posted.
And then you can post it. After I get the PDFs of the pictures.
Yes.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Steve.
Just excellent. Really great. And I know you want to stay. So now we are on the report from our Director of Aquatic Operations. We have not been with us for a year yet.
Not yet.
It's just a few days shy.
I'm looking at this report. I think I see that I have some grammatical mistakes, and I believe this was the report that I was working on before I got to the pool. I know when I was at the pool, and then I went home and finished it, and I believe I sent the one, the wrong one. I think that I have some things missing, and so I apologize. So I went home and finished this report, and I think I might have sent Richard the report that I did when I was at the pool, and I didn't. Anyway. Anyhow, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, it's frustrating. Anyway, that was a long 12-hour day, so I'm going to go anyway. So, the highlights of, you know, like the program report, very excited that our increase in revenue has gone up, was compared to last February, is 276% of an increase since last year. So I'm very proud of that. Also, you'll see with the TASH report, that more people are taking advantage of the grant, which is awesome. We're definitely teaching a lot of classes right now, so I'm excited to see what March's revenue is going to look like. It should look really well compared to last year's. So you might have any questions about the program report so far. One thing I wanted to add was we are going to start another water aerobics class based on what other people are saying they would like to have that may or may not be in this room, a deep water aerobics class. And it will be on Sundays from 11 to 12. And they will be utilizing, and I hope that some people will come that were wanting this class. Well, not mention any names.
Starting when?
It'll start in May, the next brochure.
It's going to be the same teacher.
It is. Kristen. They will take up, depending on how many people come, 1 to 2 lanes. So there won't be any other rentals, you know, because we have the rest of the lanes.
So it's going to be deep water.
It is deep water. Just what some people asked for. So I'm very excited about this program starting. And it's definitely during a time that it's not going to cause any restraints for the swim lessons and stuff like that, you know, so it'll be fun. So that is in the brochure, ready to go. Maintenance report, I put in here, thank you to Dave for fixing our door. He also, when I did this report, it was before the Wednesday date, and he also put a kick panel? Is that what it's called?
Kick plate.
Kick plate. He put a kick plate up too. In the men's, which I do need one in the women's too, so I need to. I realize that it's not, we don't have one behind the women's door either, but that was after the fact. So when I did this report, it was before the Wednesday stuff that we had done. So if you guys have any questions about that, or I can just put it in the next month's report, it's up to you. Feel free to ask. We've had a fairly easy month as far as things breaking. If you for February, you know, we won't talk about March, but so yeah, knock on someone. So marketing, you guys may or may not have seen the new signs. They're like, I call them the yard sale signs that we have, and then we have two new banners that are coming. And the reason the banners, I mean, I ordered those banners before, like, let's see, February 5th, actually. But they needed better graphics from the American Red Cross, and so finding this was just like a needle in a haystack, but we finally did get to the right person. And so, because the marketing materials I received from Red Cross were for like websites and printing, piece of paper, but not like a huge banner. So we finally got what we needed, and I'm excited about those are coming. They've been paid for and ordered, and should be here at the end this week, hopefully. And those will go in the pool area, one advertising the lifeguarding classes and the other one advertising our swim lessons. And then We are going to get a TV in the lobby, and that is not for, you know, regular TV watching. It's going to be for marketing, as you guys have seen pretty much everywhere you go. They have these things. And so I'm excited because that was Aaron's idea, so thank you, Aaron. I think it was your idea.
But thank you.
So we have everything ready as far as like ordering the little software thing that's Wi-Fi to the Wi-Fi TV. So I'm just setting it up with Aaron as far, because I don't have anywhere to store a TV at the pool. So I'm going to wait until he and I coordinate, because we need to get a outlet for the TV, because we're lacking in outlets at the pool.
Question: is it going to be like mounted up high on the wall, like?
Yes.
Did you have figured out a final location, or?
That's what I like to hear. We have a location.
Okay. Correct.
Yes.
Power is a bigger issue, right?
Power is an issue.
Right. You can mount the TV, but it would plug into nothing.
It would just be a black TV.
And then people would be disappointed.
Yeah. It would be very disappointed. Any questions about that general stuff? No? Okay. Staff updates. Jessica went and got her water safety instructor training. So she and I both are WSITs. And she is going to be teaching a class the week of Tequila's spring break for our staff. So I'm excited about that we will have certified swim instructors, which I'm not sure if the pools had those before, so nice. And we do have several new faces, new swim instructors. If you guys come in, you're probably like, who is that? We definitely have a lot of new staff. We did have a lifeguard in service, and Ellen attended a portion of it. That was the night that we got a lot of snow, and I got stuck on the way home. That wasn't fun at all. First time I've ever been stuck in the snow in my life. I was on the phone with Vanessa, too. It's Vanessa's fault. I'm like, oh, better go. I'm stuck now. I can't go anywhere. I had to call my husband to come and rescue me. Ellen had asked that I were to attach a report of the staff, the current staff that we have, when they were hired and what their position is. And so that is the first report, the next page on page 33. And you'll see that we've had just a few that just recently had a year, just reached their 1 year.
Is Olivia coming back?
Olivia?
She's a different Olivia.
Front
desk lead?
No, that's Olivia.
Yes, she is coming back. She'll be here in the summer.
Oh, is she? Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, I was not taking her name. That's not an option for her to not be on this list. But she is coming back in the summer. She's just off at school.
So, just to interrupt, the purpose, the reason I asked Michelle for this list is I've ordered some anniversary cards.
Oh, that's nice.
So that we can honor each employee when their anniversary comes around, their anniversary prior. No, Michelle won't. I don't think the cards are going to get there this soon because I just ordered them. But we'll go back. So, because I think it's it's important to recognize their dedication. So that's where we are right now. So I'm sure by the next meeting, I'm anticipating they'll be here and we'll be doing cards for those.
We search for people instead of, because we're not getting any bites from the advertisement we have out there. And so you can look for people based on their resumes and their qualifications, and you can email them. It's a dollar every time you email. That's how they make their money. You email a prospect and you personally emailed them and asked them to contact you if they're interested, and I got one bite, and so I'm going to see how that pans out of the 20 or so that I sent out. So we'll see. They may not have had time to respond quite yet. So it will be really, really nice when that happens, for sure. So yeah, that's where we are. Jessica's been helping me and trying to find this. I think she sent me like 10 more tonight. She's been looking. We're scouting for stuff. And if you don't have any other questions on the reports that are attached as far as swim lessons and rentals and that kind of thing. One more update that I didn't put on here that I think I meant to, was I met with the school district trying to get, I don't know if you guys know this, but Ellen does at least in the area, I think, and Dave. I'm trying to figure out a way to get the school, elementary school kids in the pool. Not necessarily to teach swim lessons, because, I mean, that would be nice, right, in a perfect world. But it's mainly for water safety lessons, which is definitely geared differently than teaching how to swim. So it's things like how to float, if you fall in, how to get back out, how to get out of a pool, how do you put a life jacket on, that kind of thing. And so when I met with the school district, I was asking for PE time, and unfortunately they only have 45 minutes of PE time, which is not enough time for them to get on a bus, come to the pool, change, get in the pool, you know. It's not enough time. So what I did ask was that they make a special schedule, however they can do it, and make it more like an hour and a half worth of time, just a couple of days. I'm not talking like a whole semester or every day. I asked for 4 days. I think I'm gonna might only get two. I don't know how I'm gonna get, but I asked that they give me a response by the first week of June. Because the idea was to pilot this program for fall, this coming fall, and whether it be just one school, whatever the school district decides to do, because what I've offered to them is to use scholarship money from Kaiser, which we asked the Kaiser person if we could use this for the school swim lessons, and she said absolutely, and they actually extended the us to be able to use the funds until the very end of the year, just so I could potentially offer part of the scholarship money to the school for us to do school lessons.
So the end of the school year?
No.
End of the fiscal year.
So I asked her if we could pilot this program to see if we can make it work and try to work out the kinks. The only thing the school district has to do is bring me the kids. We will pay the instructors. I would even give some swimsuits if the kids need it. So that only thing that they have to do is get the kids to me. That's it. So if they know that we may not get scholarship funds again and that we would not be able to do that same thing again, there's nothing written in writing at this moment. It's just we were talking and bouncing ideas off of each other of how we can make this happen. So yes, there were a lot of, roadblocks. She was like, well, we got this problem or this problem. And so I've done this before for years. I even helped me start this program where I'm from. And it was 12 elementary schools. We're only talking three. But they were more willing to change the schedule to make it an hour and a half. And she was like, I don't know if we can do that. So I'm sure she's going to take it back to her, what does she call it, her senior group or her lead group, whatever she calls it. Present the idea to them and see if they can come up with a way to make it work. And they will decide, if it's all the schools or they're just gonna pick a school, like one that the principal is a little more willing to. I don't know, I'm just leaving it up to them. I just said, just get the kids to me and I'll work out the rest as far as the school goes. So we will see what happens.
So Michelle has been asking the record. Just to be clear, I just want to be clear. This is separate to the ILA.
Absolutely.
This is a separate program, and this is why it would not need to be included in the ILA.
It's totally separate. Now, if they want to continue and we don't get another grant that helps support the funds for it, then we will need to come up with something in the future. And she knows this is just a one semester thing that we try this.
So this is Commissioner Newker, and something that I've seen in the past, I would say try to get the class level that you're looking for, but if you can't, I found that individual teachers like to use the pool for like rewards for, like, you know, at the end of the year they'll have parties or they'll have rewards for good behavior and things like that. And they're looking for money to be able to have field trips. So you may be able to get individual teachers who want to take advantage of the grant money. So what they can do is they combine their end of the year school party with a little bit of water safety or, you know, something like that. So I would, if you can't get anywhere with the classes, I think I would send something to the teachers. In a, you know, let's say a field trip opportunity that you want to pay for because we have the funds, you know, contact with the pool.
The water safety field trip.
Yeah, it's kind of like a water safety party, you know, like, yeah, the combination. And I bet you get a few hits, you know, especially on the elementary school level.
Yeah, because they would have longer, you'd be able to do like a longer trip.
That's what I'm thinking. Because you know how they'll take the bus, they'll go to a park, or they'll. They can come over to the pool. They may, the individual teachers may carve the time out for you.
Okay. Well, also, to piggyback off of that, so with the American Red Cross program that we provide, they also have a program where you go into the classroom, and it's all there for us, and there's videos, there's so much material. So it's something they've been doing forever, and they call it the Whale's Tales program, which I'm very familiar with. And so I told her at the end, you know, towards the end of the school year before they get out of school, that I'd love to go into the, now there's only me, you know, and Jessica, so there's only us two, so I don't know that we'd be able to hit all of the classes, but as many as we can, and go in and teach water safety, go to the classroom and teach water safety, do a water safety presentation. So at least that, we'll see what she says. I told her the 1st of June so that I would know how much money I need to allocate and put aside of the scholarship money before I used it, a lot of it over the summer. So I need to set that money aside. And then also try to staff that program too. So they would bring, she said, a class at a time. This would be about 25 kids. So then I would be looking for volunteers / swim instructors. It would be kind of difficult because 99% of my swim instructors are in school, so I will worry about the staffing issue and trying to get volunteers. maybe volunteers that might be willing to help. I'll worry about that later once I know that it's a go, and I don't know which grade level. I'll take whatever I can get, you know, at this point. So, yeah, so that's my update on that. And I just want to thank you guys for this past year, as well as next time I see y'all, I've been over a year, and then it'll be old news. So, it has definitely been a very trying, but very rewarding year. So, very thankful for all of you guys. Because if it weren't for y'all, I would not, you guys or y'all, whatever y'all say, I don't know what y'all say. I would not be sitting right here right now. For your support. Thank you for always answering the phone when I call. all of y'all, I think I'll call all of you guys. Y'all are super supportive, and I cannot thank you enough for that. So, yeah. Thank you. I can't believe it's been a year. Oh my gosh.
Not yet.
It's been almost
3 days. 3 days.
Yes, it's been a very interesting year. I'm looking forward to the next year because this past year was.
It'll all be yours.
You know, it's just phenomenal to me to see, you know, where our programming and where our, you know, satisfaction level, but our quality has come in a year plus.
Yeah,
the Google comments.
Yes.
I just gotta say, you know, I'm just looking forward to next year.
Yeah.
It's like this big snowball of good stuff. So. Thanks to you. You're really providing great leadership to the staff, and that's really important, and it's noticed. So. So thank you.
We clearly have a lot more work to do. Clearly, you know, we have a lot more, and there's so many pieces to this huge puzzle. It's like certain things do get dropped off, like, you know, notifying people about land rentals. And so I think at first it was just like this huge picture of so many things that need to be tackled, and now little things that are still big things still need to be ironed out and fixed. And so there are days where I'm just like, oh my Lord, you know, why is this still happening and why is this still a problem? And then there's other days where I'm like, wow, things are actually working like they're supposed to. Staff are actually doing what they're supposed to do. This is awesome. But no, I'm very proud of the staff, and all the obstacles that we've overcome in the last year has been a tremendous amount. And it's definitely been a growing experience for me, because I'm so used to having resources, like with the Y, because there's so many resources you can tap into, and we don't have those resources here. So I enjoy a challenge. Brick wall being put right in front of me, I try to figure out a way to climb over to go around it. Just like with the school district, it was like, oh, this and that. I'm like, wait a minute, we could do this or we could do that. So it's definitely been interesting, but I'll never forget my Skype interview, especially with when you two were there. And I'll never forget you guys saying that you were looking for someone to grow your swim lesson program. And so I'm very proud of the staff and how we've definitely increased that. So we've definitely met that goal. I don't know about the others, but we're getting there.
So speaking of swim lessons, I'm just curious, because I forgot to ask you earlier. Camp Tukwili, are they bringing kids?
Yes.
Have they come back to you on that?
No, we made a decision then.
Okay.
So I did meet with them the same day at the school district, and I think most of you guys did, but maybe you, I'm not sure who all I've told this to. But I know you probably don't listen. So, yes. We decided they were wanting to get rid of the swim lessons altogether, which was another brick wall that was put in front of me that I was like, I'm leaping right over this one. So they're going to do a month session instead of where the kids are signing up every single week. And I would imagine, I mean, I would have a hard time paying, because when the kids were signing up for a week for five classes, they were paying like $52 or $58 or something, because they're paying the camp, and then we get a portion of that, because they have to pay the counselors and the drive, you know, the bus to come over. And so we got, I have it written down. I think we get 70% of the income or something. It was already predetermined before I came. Can't remember exactly. So I would have a hard time paying $50-something a week for swim lessons. That is a lot for me, you know. So I think it would be easier for people to see they're paying that for a month and they're coming twice a week. And it was easier for the camp to staff. The reason they were wanting to get rid of the lessons is not because any of the quality or they had any problems. It was because they couldn't staff someone to drive the van, because only a certain counselors are allowed to drive it. And they had to have a male and a female counselor, so they were having issues staffing. So now that we've put it back to two classes a week, they were like, okay, we can manage that. So I asked for more, like three, but I got two, so. So they're going to do where they can sign up for the whole month of July, and then they're going to see how it goes, and then extend it to August. So.
And then the ILA timeline, how are we doing on our ILA, getting the school district to sign off on the schedule?
So I met with them, and the date in there, so there's a date that we're supposed to meet and discuss it or something, and then the date he's supposed to get it back to me is this month? Yeah. So he knows, like, he immediately saw the date and circled it and knew that he has to get back to me by that date. So
I just want to make sure that we're, you know, still on schedule with that.
Yes. And that was a very successful meeting, I believe, because even though I put this bug in his ear over the summer, I think he was just overwhelmed with all that he had going on. So when we met and I put the bug in his ear again, I was like, hey, let's make this happen this time, was to offer the lifeguarding class the exact same time as a swim class, so that he's not tying up a teacher during the lifeguarding class time. The same teacher that's doing the swim class can take it, because the only thing I need them to do is take attendance, because we're teaching the class. So that same teacher can do both things. Whereas before, that teacher was just sitting in the stands, you know. So
no, that's great.
Saves time. Better for us, better for them. So that's what he's going to do.
Okay. Yay. And one last thing, just as I know you've done such a great job at the managing and balancing all the CIP stuff, and I know there's still some more stuff you have to do, still other things, but before, you know, as we move forward, I know Christine had commented on facility maintenance log, and, you know, as we start getting these things ticked off, checked off, if we're documenting what's done, when it's done somehow, whether it's facility due or whatever it is, I just don't want that, you know, while it's fresh in your mind as to what was done and when, it might be a good time to just kind of schedule that on your calendar of your, you know, many to-do things.
I usually put dates on there, and I know that I did. I just sent the wrong one to Richard this fall. But just the, you know, the upcoming dates of the event on Saturday, which I've been emailing you guys, and, you know, TPAC and marketing as well. We're going to start having a lot of lifeguarding classes coming up. So lots of stuff going on.
My report is on page 38. So I'm open to any questions you may have.
I have a question for Commissioner Shipman. Have you done your OPMA?
I have done my OPMAs, but I was having trouble figuring out how to get them to document it on properly. Which I talked to was
I can answer that.
Oh, perfect.
All you really need is to print out the self-certifying certificate.
And that does not work.
Really?
That's tried multiple times, yeah.
We can do it out of my office easily if you need to.
All right.
So then you're all cut up. You've done PRA and doing a reshoot of the portraits. So if anybody would like to, you know, try and get everybody to agree to wear a swim hat, you know, swim cap or something like that. Or check little pool t-shirts. I don't
so they didn't this commissioner really didn't turn out or
I guess not. I haven't seen them, and I believe that Gene okay. is doing well.
Not
really ill. So I'll email him and just see if he could sort of, you know, he usually comes to events, so maybe we can have him do pictures. I don't know. Because the pictures that he does at the events turn out.
Yeah.
So.
I'm just going to, Commissioner Frangiello and Anderson, for the record, I will not be at the April meeting.
You will not be where?
I will not be at the April meeting.
Okay. At the April meeting?
Yes.
Meeting. Right, got that. Thank you for pointing out that paragraph randomly. Okay, well, that's okay. I mean, you know, we'll figure it out.
That's fine. You can just airbrush me.
No, because I don't know that we're going to be doing the pictures at a meeting, so we're still working on it.
Oh, okay.
All right. But Jerry's like, I won't be at work ever.
I did have a question for Commissioner Newfer. Is there a date for the next programming committee meeting?
We haven't set one. We are planning to do it
think that it will be sometime in May, the date to be determined. So we can start working towards the brochure in August.
Is that, are the programming committee meetings going to be every other month?
No, we were moving them more towards a quarterly schedule, just before the brochure is due, but we want to review at least one of the programs to see whether or not we want to make any recommendations ahead of putting it in the brochure. So we're going to need a little more lead time for the next round.
Okay.
And then after that, it should go back to
quarterly.
Unless something else comes up.
Okay.
So, but so, yeah, quarterly is the goal.
Plenty of time for notice.
Huh?
Plenty of time to send out notice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so. We don't have a date yet, though.
Now, the pages 39 through 44, I included with my report because I just got these from Carlene Brown at WCIA. And those WCIA audit, we've narrowed down to this option of the three options because we've already done the other two options in the previous 2 years. So this is basically all that's left. And as I went through these questions, I'll just say for the record that I would advise the commissioners to scrupulously review them. And perhaps it's worth a meeting to talk about how these questions should be answered.
Commissioner Knapp, for the record, I looked at them, and I appreciate your saying greatly because I looked at a lot of them. I think the first step is, it seems a lot of it's to do with Michelle. Like, this is who would have the answers. I'd like to see what she comes up with first, if she has issues with it, because I don't know the answers to a lot of them, and I don't want to know. I don't want to be the one who knows this, but I guess first I want to see her cursory review of it. Go ahead.
My question is, so when you were talking to WCIA on this, is this the only kind of audit that we can do?
Well, at this point in time.
Okay, at this point in time, we can't do anything else?
Not without being redundant to the previous audits that
can
were done.
Can we be redundant to the previous audits?
That's
Is
a
that
good,
allowed?
That's an interesting question. I didn't think of asking that
well,
question.
Well, the only reason that I asked this, and I thought we had a discussion about this is very operations heavy. I mean, you know, I think it's an excellent, you know, thing to have and to go through, but I just don't know what the timeline is like. And, as Commissioner Zapital pointed out, this is, you know, although the commissioners should definitely read this and, you know, kind of be aware of what's being asked, the commissioners aren't the ones who are responsible for this. Our aquatics person is, and so I don't know if now's the best time. So I think maybe we can have a discussion about this on Wednesday a little bit more. And maybe in the meantime, Richard, if you get an opportunity between now and our meeting on Wednesday, if you could ask Charlene, is that her name?
Carlene,
whether it would be possible to do a redundant. You know, I understand that it's not as valuable, perhaps, but I'm just curious. If there's a reason that we have to do, I mean, I understand the value of this, but I'm just concerned about the timeline and the amount of effort and we're short of manager and blah, blah, blah.
This is Commissioner Duffer. When does this do?
Well, the next step is to coordinate a scheduled meeting where Carlene would come to our office, and she's already suggested the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday as possible dates,
like,
you know, on the last week of April.
No,
the last week of April.
The last year's audit was on, what was it called? Risk management?
Risk.
And I wasn't as involved with that one as I would like to be. Lots of reasons. One, right in the middle of talking with her about, you know, the discussion that we started with the audit was, we had a 911 incident happen right in the middle of this. I don't know if you guys knew that. It was in May of last year. And so that kind of put it on hold for a little bit. And then right after the 911 incident, I had to let assistant manager go, and then I had to walk her around. So the only thing that I did really was walk her around and show her where we keep things, and I still didn't even really know at that point. I hadn't been there that long. And so I kind of wouldn't mind having that done again, so that, because the rest she did with Jennifer, and I don't know what else was said. I don't know what the report, you know, I don't know anything about the results of that. I didn't see any of that. So I kind of wouldn't mind having that done again.
To get it to your comfort level.
So that I can ask her more questions than I was capable of doing that day, because it was quite not a, it was, yeah, it wasn't a great day. So.
Does that make sense, Richard? You work with Michelle on the day.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff, I mean, it's going to be no. I mean, because a lot of these trainings are scattered throughout the year. And right now, I'm so short-staffed. The last training that I need to go to, the Building Supervisor Skills 301, I went to 101 and 201 in the fall when I had enough staff to manage the facility. I had to cancel because I had to work that day. So it's going to take some time to look over this first time. You know, he gave this to me this, or she emailed it to us this week or last week, and a lot of this stuff I haven't even gotten myself. Does that make sense? You know, I haven't even had myself, let alone the assistant managers. So it's going to be, I have a feeling she's just going to sit down and say, I need more help or something. I'm not sure. But this is definitely really good to have. It's kind of a check sheet for.
This is Commissioner Newford. Is this something where we should do this, but perhaps begin, you know, working through it methodically throughout the year? So the next audit, because to me, I look at some of this and I feel like it was done, and you just may not know. May not have the information. I know that we have policies on
many
of these things,
yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah,
so
the first page, no.
Well,
I think, you know, I'm hearing Michelle being a little bit nervous about meeting, you know, this soon on something like this, and risk management seems to be a reasonable request, and then, like Christine suggests, to look for this for next year. Work through this for the following audit.
But we do need to address these things.
That's what I say. Start working through it throughout the year.
So
it gives us more time to make sure that we're doing it.
Yeah. And also, Michelle, I think I heard you say that the risk management audit happened, but you weren't really given those results, or you never had a rundown.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's also a place to start, as to. Get that first.
Commissioner Gengler, Richard, were you able to locate the past audits?
Not the audit documents, but I was able to get a hold of the final letter that came from Carlene in both years, 16 and 17.
Okay. Do you? So I am hearing all these different, so do you think you could, since you're the point person for WCIA, could you
see if Carlene would be open, given Michelle's anniversary and not having been really super involved in the risk management last year, to inquire if we can do the risk management this year with Michelle. And also for Christine's point, which is excellent, I mean, these are things that have to be addressed and we need to be doing them, but we can work on these with, operations can start working on these items in the personnel 2018 questionnaire during the rest of the year. And then next year, if it's possible, we could do a personnel, we could do this with WCA next year, because I believe, and let me know if I'm wrong, the WCIA audit is something that's done for the benefit of the pool, not like the state, at the moment, not that the state's trying to ding you either, but I mean, both of the organizations want to help you, but this is kind of something where we can cherry pick, so to speak. We don't have to do any particular thing, although I do understand the whole redundancy. Am I correct in that?
I think I agree 100%.
Okay, so you can just verify with Carlene that we could do risk management, and then we'll start on this.
I'll ask.
Okay, great. So we can talk about that.
This Commissioner Newford also would give us time as a board if we need to step in with some level of support. It gives us time to deal with whatever it is.
There certainly is a lot here.
It just seems like we need to support this because we are the ones who do the policies or review all the policies. So, yeah.
Okay.
All right. This is a very good form.
It is.
It's really good.
Yeah, very helpful.
I did want to report that the phone issue has been resolved, the ringing problem, and there's a little bit of research being done on reducing the Comcast bill by eliminating the $18 a month we've been paying for the TV. Mr. Ravitch might be able, he's also a sales agent for Comcast.
Oh.
So he might be able to help us reduce that by eliminating television as one of the things we're paying for.
Well, just in time for us to get a TV.
well timed to get rid of that.
Yes.
That way we don't have any tempting. And I would thank you, Richard, for your work on the telephones. And it sounds like it all is up and running.
It's a great message if you have a call. You should call. It's great.
It is great. I call.
Yep. Sounds very clear and very happy.
Not too southern.
Okay.
Yeah, don't take any work doing voiceovers for
it. My loser now.
Okay. Is that it for your report then?
I'm done.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. It is 7:35 and we are at the TPAC committee report. It is not clear. Oh, was given as a sheet, right?
There's a copy made of the TPAC report over here if you want it. Okay.
Do you want a copy of it?
There's a copy of the TPAC report.
Okay.
Okay,
so. Okay, well, I think we took care of the third item.
Yes,
well, I'm curious to find out what, as things evolve about the fingerprinting and I know that we had, or I have received, did everybody get this, Richard, or just me?
I'm sorry.
It's the 100-hour cap method for reporting volunteers, which I don't think really applies to us. Not from you.
Oh, I just put that in the box because I had that as an extra. They gave me two.
Oh, okay. Okay, no problem. All right, is there any questions, comments about TPAC? And we think it's Christine this week. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is for business item 6B, since we moved 6A up, it's 7:35. programming committee members and schedules. Hopefully that's minutes.
So did anybody have any questions about the minutes from the March 5th meeting? Or?
So is it your intention to, I think we talked about this time, to elect positions at this meeting?
Yeah. Yeah, we, okay, so the last thing we talked about was rotating the chair. As you're aware, I've been the chair for more than a year. And also, I think it's healthier for an institution like this to have rotating leadership. So, the last time we selected the chair, we just did it inside of the format of the meeting. We just, you know, had a little vote. I think what happens, I raise my hand, I'll do it. Everybody said, hey, okay, go ahead. Which is the way these things tend to work. So we discussed this a little in the meeting, and Aaron was willing to take over the chairmanship, but we also wanted to discuss it here, given the discussion that we had at the last meeting, to see if anybody else wanted to throw their hat in the ring or have any problems with just making that switch.
So are you
really going to be the chair?
So are you going to do the same thing where it's a 1 and 2 year appointments, or are you going to be that formal or not?
I just
for the finance. So
we have we're not as formal.
Okay.
So I understand the formality of the finance, but the program committee, I don't think it needs to be as formal, but I think the 1 year term is certainly appropriate. It's not as complex as the finance committee, so I don't think anything more than a year is really necessary.
For ease, I think it's nice for everything to be April 1st, like that we have all the appointments for the committees, at least the committees we currently have, because they're currently April 1st, right, for finance. So we could do like a motion to appoint Commissioner Shipman and Commissioner Newfer for the programming committee for beginning April 1st.
Yeah, I
until
think
that 2018 through April. Is that what you're kind of thinking?
An appointment does not require a vote or a nomination process.
How are we doing with the finance?
Well, that was an election, not an appointment.
Okay. So, did you just say nomination doesn't require?
If it's an appointment, it doesn't require nomination and voting. It's not like an election.
I mean, I would be in favor of appointing Aaron to be the chair of the programming committee from April of 2018 to the end of March 2019.
Because
Aaron would be still up to it.
Okay. Ellen?
Yeah, I'm the board president.
Procedurally?
Yes.
You would just say, is there any objection? And then if there is not, you just.
So any objection to having Aaron be appointed from April 2018 to March 2019?
Do you want to clarify April 1st?
April 1st, 2018 to March 31st, 2019.
Our anniversary.
Your anniversary?
It's your anniversary too.
April 1st?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Okay, is there any negative comments about that?
Okay. Only positive comments.
Okay.
I think that's great.
You're
and so I would suggest that Commissioner Newfer continue on the program committee.
Okay, so Commissioner Newfer would also be appointed?
April 1st, 2018 to March 31st, 2019.
Could they be each other year?
I think the idea was that programming is more.
Okay.
I'm able to serve in that capacity.
Excellent. You are appointed. Okay. But we also have other things.
Yeah, there is one more thing. So on the last page, back page,
one of the things we discussed in the programming committee was the discontinuation of the male-only swim program on the basis of a lack of demand for the program. We tend to have around 3 participants every time it's run, and it's been going that way for quite some time. So we think that we could replace that time with something else that would generate more revenue for the pool. So it is a recommendation of the programming committee that we discontinue the male-only program. And the reason we'd like to do it tonight is because the brochure comes out this week, or that it's due this week to be published. So we would like
tomorrow.
And so we would like to make sure that the brochure is up to date.
Okay.
If we do agree as a commission to discontinue this particular program.
Richard, do we need to make a motion to have discussion, or can we have discussion prior to a motion?
Either way.
All right, let's discuss. Yeah. Are you done with your presentation?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
It's a short one.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Zabdel, for the record. Okay, so I guess I was a little confused at this time. First, I want to know, did Michelle and Commissioner Shipman and Michelle and Richard, were they given a copy of our 10-page legal brief from our lawyer on this specifically? Do you have copies of this?
I have a copy.
Michelle, have you read this?
What's the date on it?
So it's from November of 2013.
Oh.
And
it
was,
it to you.
Yeah, so
you
I guess, I'm a little concerned because this is the only thing that the district attorney has provided us. I don't believe there's been anything else. And it specifically throughout it is basing its opinion on, because male and females have an equal opportunity to swim during gender-restricted hours, the classification does not deny equality based on gender as having equal time proportion. I mean, throughout it, it says that in the conclusion, it's based on the fact that equal time. By taking it away, we're going against our own district attorney's legal advice. And I don't think I'm in any position to counter the opinion of our legal attorney.
Well, we contacted the Human Rights Commission to ask them about this, and what they were concerned with was motivation. You would never be able to end a program like this on a discriminatory basis. However, they said that if you can show that there is a lack of demand, if you can demonstrate that, which we can definitely demonstrate with the numbers, that it would be okay to discontinue the program. They also said, though, that with any change, there's always a possibility of somebody suing, but they felt that it would be as far as they could go with it. They said that if they were looking at it, it would be defensible. That doesn't mean, though, that you could prevent a suit.
So and I'm looking at what was forwarded to me, if this is the correct thing for the Human Rights Commission.
That's the thing.
And right at the bottom it says, this does not constitute legal advice, nor the official opinion of the Human Rights Commission. We suggest that you consult an attorney regarding this issue. This is our consultation with an attorney, so I don't think this is really very valid when it's got that disclaimer. And I'm just not comfortable going against, it's not just one or two places that this opinion refers to the fact that it's equal access. It's throughout the entire basis of whether this is a legal program or not. I don't know if, like, you know, our director hasn't had a chance to look at this. And so that's a huge concern to me, mm-hmm. not of going against our legal opinion, our district attorney specifically, not just on a small point, it's specifically through. throughout these. So I'd like everyone to really read that document before they, you know, weigh in on whether or not we're going to go against what they recommend.
Okay.
And so
well, here's my thought. I mean, we can send it back through the attorney and ask more directly about this specific idea. Please remember that many of the other pools do not offer male programs.
But
we're the only pool that offers a male-only program. So somebody must be somehow have figured out that they're able to offer only female, women-only swims, because Seattle doesn't offer them, and they're major, you know, district.
So they basically took an attitude of, we'll just wait and see. And I'm not comfortable. I mean, I'm reading this, but before going to the attorney again, I mean, this was 10 pages. This was with a significant amount of research. It's a lot of money already spent.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I'd like everyone to read it first, because there's a lot of references to the fact that it's based, like the very end conclusion is, the part of it is, the district treats both genders equally with its male and female only swim hours.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not doing that, then this conclusion, this is part of the supporting the conclusion of it. So I'm not sure how frequently or how recently people have reviewed this before spending a lot more money on attorneys when we've already got, the district spent a lot of money on this. I'm a little nervous. Others, but things that I can stop on that for a minute.
Okay, quickly, David.
A couple of questions. Have we been documenting the attendance of the male in the swim? So we have a sign-in sheet, everybody's been documenting, so you can tell week to week who's attending and who's not.
You know, so with Rec 1, you don't have to do a sign-in sheet to document attendance. You literally can come in and say, you know, each Thursday from this time to this time, how many people have come in. So we could easily do that, yeah, but we don't have to do sign-in sheets. We don't have to do that anymore.
Okay, that's step one. You have to, what Vanessa's Commissioner Zappa will say is that you have to allow equal opportunity. If you can document an underperformance, which means no attendance, and that means it needs to be documented. So you have physical evidence that you don't have sufficient participation to make it cost effective to run that program, then you can put that past the attorney and I'm sure it'll sign off on it.
I believe that's what the Human Rights Commission was
so
trying to express, that you would have to document everything. And I believe that we could
correct.
Document
so
everything.
Just to be clear,
so.
Commissioner Zappa, I am saying that you don't get the choice, according to Brian.
No, you get a choice.
No, if you read the document, so it's pretty clear that as long as you offer both, you are not in violation. So once again, I'm clear that when I'm reading this, I'm seeing it as you have to offer both, period. Now, to be fair, I hear three people swimming. I also know that over the last several weeks, there's only been three in the women's, so
yeah.
That's not really compelling to me. Participation, that's not really a very much difference. I am actually more concerned at this point on our process for evaluating programming. When are we going to cut? What is the process for cutting programs and making sure that it's done very thoughtfully and that we've done a state with comparable metrics across programs? So if we look, you're looking at all the programs that maybe only have three or four people, not just this one or that one or that one. We look at all of them. We look at priorities. We look, is it community versus rental? Our profitability on its own is not constitute reasoning, because rentals will, I mean, we can always say, let's do rentals. That's going to do a lot more money, but that's not what we're here for. We're also here for a balance of community pool. So that's not compelling to me, saying that you could just rent it out. Sure, you could. Overtime hours, that's not compelling, because overtime hours can be attributed to all programming depending on the scheduling. One program does not on its own constitute overtime hours. Any program, you could say, shoots it over. Participation of several of our community programs are minimally and randomly attended. I've witnessed it. So once again, we have to look at those metrics across the board. And also targeted marketing. Once you have a process place to very, you know, systematically look at programming, then you've got the step of targeted marketing. What kind of targeted marketing have you done to boost the lower attendance programs? Have you, like with our swim lessons, we and our special events, we do a great job at targeted marketing. We send flyers out to schools, we do this. What have we done to support the other programs that are lower attended? Have we done those things and made sure we've gone and marketed to the places that we need to? You know, at minimum, at least put things up in the pool showing that we have these things. Like, I'm just saying that I don't fully feel that we've done all those pieces in a logical process that we can say we would do that for every program.
Okay. Well, we looked at, we didn't bring it here, but we have looked at counts, like head counts over a period of time, and there just is not the attendant. They're just
for both
not
the female and male.
Well,
yes,
we have discussed the,
yes.
There is a difference between the females and the
but
males.
But
in a prior programming committee, we talked about it, but I don't think we talked about it out. This particular one, we focused on the male, the lack of attendance on the male. We talked about the lack of attendance on the male program for.
Once again, I'm hearing three, you know, men during this time, and I'm hearing three or four women during the other time.
Well, but the women's time fluctuates depending on the time of the year. The women's program, like, so one weekend there might be three people or four people show up, but that doesn't mean that they don't almost have to close pull down because there aren't so many attendees with the women's program. The men's program is a very steady attendance. The women's program really fluctuates throughout the year.
So so what I'm hearing you say is the men's program has consistently three people come.
That's
okay.
Yeah, but not the women's program.
Okay.
That is
the women's
very
program,
different.
Okay. But
very
you know,
different.
This is all at this point it's anecdotal because we don't have any numbers in front of us. But I'll take your word for it because I've heard that. But I also understood that weren't they doing water polo during the men's.
So, so in the fall, I was asked by Kennedy if they could rent the pool Monday through Friday. And Friday we have teen night, and it's pretty popular. And then Thursday night, they rented three lanes because we obviously don't need all the six lanes with the three people that come to lap swim. So they rented three lanes. They want the whole pool. They only were able to do conditioning during that time. They want the whole pool. And they could even have meets on those nights, or whatever they call those things, games, matches, whatever water polo does. So that water polo would love to have the pool, the whole pool, and on Thursdays. But, I mean, I've got Seattle Synchro also would like the pool anytime that I could give it to them. But the main thing is so with women's swim, yeah, we were looking at their numbers as well, especially the last, 6 months. And I made a recommendation that we move women's swim back to one Sunday a month. But I believe, what did we say we were going to offer that to them?
Well, we wanted to review the community impact of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because we wanted to see, well, first of all, with the changes that we just recently made, if whether or not that's going to have much of an impact on attendance or not, now that male employees may or may not be working that day. We also wanted to look at what are the available programs throughout the community. Where would people go if they didn't come to our pool? Because we haven't reviewed, you know, what's available. We know Rainier Beach has a program, but some programs may have closed. So we just don't know, you know, where would somebody go? So we wanted to review it. We didn't want to, there wasn't enough time to make that kind of a decision or kind of recommendation ahead of this particular brochure. We didn't think that it would have gotten the review that it deserved. So.
But you want to, so let me just make sure I understand what you're saying. You are recommending that we stop the male gender only swim because there have consistently only been three men who come to it.
Mm-hmm.
even though at the time we are also having water polo going on, I believe you also said that depending, I mean, this in a couple of lanes or whatever it is, which might be in violation of that, I'm not sure. But also, there are female guards, and the men don't seem to mind. Mm-hmm. So it seems like we have just been chipping away at this, and now we have a timetable due tomorrow at noon, a brochure that needs to be done, and programming is recommending that we take this off. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct. We're recommending that we discontinue that program, so okay. That it's okay. Because of the lack of it. We're recommending the discontinuation because of the lack of attendance and because we believe that we can replace the revenue.
Okay, and that's despite what the attorney said, which you know, based on a letter from the Human Council, I don't know if anybody wants to continue discussing this or if somebody wants to make a motion and put this to a vote. Or I mean, I know we could discuss this all night. I don't know how helpful that would be. Unless somebody feels like they haven't been heard on this.
I have a comment if you're open to it.
Okay, go ahead.
We did contact another attorney from MRSC who was offering free legal advice as part of their services to us.
Uh-huh.
And her legal opinion was that we don't have to continue the male swim for a variety of reasons, but mostly just because we have offered the idea.
Okay, sir,
is that
so once again, though, we don't have that.
And yes, and that attorney, we don't have anything on the record about that, and that attorney would not necessarily represent us for free if somebody would sue us, correct?
Well, that goes into the second part of my comment.
Okay, well, hold that thought. Dave Pookie?
I just wanted to give you, I've been at this since all those ladies passed City Hall way back when.
Right.
And there's like six gentlemen in there with them, but none of them were interested in swimming. They wanted their wives or girlfriends or whoever they were that they were with them to support them to have that opportunity. And it was adopted then with a stipulation that it needed to be monitored and documented so that we could check on the participation, make sure that everything's going along and how that program goes. I don't think to this point with a deadline near that you've got a fair and objective evaluation presented to you to where you can make a definitive judgment as to whether to or not to continue the program. And I do believe that in that lawyer's opinion that a fair and objective evaluation of criteria equally on both sides, men and women, must be conducted and documented before you can move forward and do it, because you don't know if it's the same three guys coming, different three guys every other week, or who it is. It's just people, and you need to know who they are. And I would make sure that you have a sign-up sheet so that you get the people that are participating in there. If they choose not to sign, you just leave the space and move to the next line.
We knew they're the exact same three people every single week. We know exactly who they are.
I'm all in favor of actually, because the whole idea of this was to make sure that we accommodate those of the female gender that really wanted the program. And there was a lot of people in that room, and we did used to have a lot of support for it. I didn't know that it's dwindled, but at this point, both of them need to be evaluated and documented. And then you can have a good, honest discussion and put forth the criteria of what you're. Make sure that you've got an objective criteria. And I don't even know if you need to go to the lawyer, because right now, male gender is not paying for itself. It's a cost of doing business.
Well, most of everything we do at the pool doesn't pay for itself.
It's doing a lot better.
Well, it is doing much better. Thank
you very much. It's doing
much better.
It's almost
doing a whole lot better. But the pool is, I mean, none of the programs are truly sustainable without our levy. And the reason we have a levy is because community members said, yes, I'll tax myself so that we can have this in our community. And the community has many needs. Children, seniors, women, men, all sorts of needs. Was there something else you wanted to add that's relevant to this discussion?
Very.
Quickly.
You can also look at it from a purely strategic basis. Lawsuits cost money on the part of the plaintiff as well. So if these three guys want to put together, I'm just saying, using them as an example, want to put together the funds to file a lawsuit, at that point, you don't necessarily have to defend it. You can also back down and bring the program back.
Okay,
just
thank you.
One last word. I mean, it's all very nice and anecdotal that this attorney said this. Did that attorney have access to the in-depth analysis that our attorney did? You know, so one person's opinion, this is who we paid, this is the only opinion we have that is our district attorney. And it's not small. I'm going to just debate it a little longer because, like, things like what it says in the claim, I want everyone to read it very carefully. Also rejected the discrimination claim because the plaintiff could not show that he suffered any damages as a result of the price discount provided to ladies only. Similarly, because single gender swims are made available to each gender equally, and because, I mean, it goes on, this whole document is the position that the district has is supported by this document right now, and we don't have anything in our possession from our district attorney that says anything other than that.
Okay, so here's my thought, Madam President. why don't we just see where we're at with this, and then in terms of what everybody thinks
so
about this.
You would like to make a motion?
And then, and then go from there.
Okay.
I'd like to get a sense
question.
Of where people are at, because I'm not sure where people are at.
Okay.
So what I'd like to do is make a motion to discontinue the male-only program. That's it.
Okay. All right, there is a motion on the table to discontinue the male-only gender swim program. Do I have a second? I guess we know where we're at.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. So this is my thought. We were gonna review the women's program in time for the next brochure. Let's go back and re-review. You're the chairman, so you're gonna have to decide.
He's not chairman,
and I'm hearing from my fellow commissioners that they would like to see certain types of metrics in order for them to feel like they're fully considering.
For all low performing programs.
For all, so here's my suggestion there is if you could give the programming committee a guide of what you would find helpful for the types of metrics that you would like to see to evaluate the program. We've tried to do things like this before. There has been some difficulty with Rec 1, and there had been quite a bit of turnover and people to help us with the Rec 1. So now we have, you know, somebody here that's steady that may be able to help us better put together those metrics. So, but if you could let us know what those are. What we may have to do then, we may have to present the questions in a different manner to our council. Because this was made, these recommendations were made at a time when the program was being set up. There has been now 4 years of time that has gone by. But there's a considerable amount of time and a considerable amount of data.
Well, that's why I was laughing, Christine.
Yeah.
I was this is Commissioner Gangler. I was laughing because it would be awesome if we had a considerable amount of data. But but I don't know that there really is. I mean,
we can do some research and see, like,
yeah,
how far.
I'm sure that in the last, you know, almost year, there's been data kept, but I don't know about before.
Well, it's been a chat. RACBAN has kind of chatted, or reports that have been presented to me in the past were difficult to put together, but I'm not sure how. But I think that it needs to be reviewed because we were looking at like an hour and a half of time in the middle of the week that is not being utilized and may not be serving the community purpose that the female gender swim.
But I think, again, this is Commissioner Gangler, and then I'll get to you, Dave. I think that it's important when you do that to also note that currently, and I don't know for how long, we've been renting lanes to water polo people. So it's not just the three guys that have been hanging out. It's also water polo that's been renting. So it would be disingenuous to say that it's only, you know, that the male gender swim is only this. Because they're also using the pool for something else, which I don't know if in violation of
that. There may have been a problem with that particular program, though, because we weren't allowing the mothers to come and watch their children play or practice, and it was a rental, but the two programs are really different. They were put together, but they were different, and it was just kind of
are they still going on that way?
Because the water polo program's over, right?
It was only like 2 months.
Yeah, it's a high school.
Oh, it's a high school program.
So right now, all that's going on, right? Right now, there's no swim lessons. It's just the lap swimming.
Okay.
That's all that's going
on
right now.
Okay.
So.
Just a couple of quick comments. The objective criteria to measure would be contained in that legal letter that you got from the lawyer. All the criteria you need to judge by is in there. And I've seen that some years ago.
Mixed use,
as long as there is no objection to mixed use during a male only or a female only event at the pool, what's the harm? Only if you get a complaint do you have to act.
Okay.
What if my recommendation would be that give me some time. I can get you lots of data, as much data as RACBAN will provide for me, which should be a good bit. And I should have had something tonight, and I'm sorry that I did not have data to support this recommendation. But I can get you guys whatever data that you would like. And that document from the attorney is, 5 years old now, or 4 year, 4 and a half, or whatever. And would it be worth it to revisit this with the attorney?
Quite possibly, depending on
maybe.
What the data shows. And, I think that it's a fair question. It's good to be brought up. It's not like, oh, we can't talk about it. Certainly we can talk about it. But I don't think that when you have a deadline like we do tomorrow,
right.
that this is a good way to make a decision. I think Christine's recommendation is well thought, and we should just go ahead and proceed with that.
Okay. So we'll table it,
yeah.
and go back and review it so that you feel like you have the information that you need.
And Commissioner's out for the record. I also, I'm going back to process so that we start and formulate and continue a process that can be replicated for any program that we want to evaluate, not just this program, everything. And that I want to see that we went out and we tried to market, we tried to target it, and we tried to get information out, because I don't think it's really a great plan to say, oh, what's coming next? So I think it's a process thing also.
But just a question. So male gender swim is Thursday evenings from?
It's 8 to 9:30. It says till 9.
And I agree with Commissioner Zappel, but I think there's opportunity to market it. I can see, diver dad maybe, coming with his son for half an hour or something, or, I think there's a lot of people who probably don't know about it. Dave, do you go to it?
I've been advertising. I tell everybody I know about that I have a lot of friends that have weight issues, have other things, handicaps. They, say, hey, won't come to the pool. And And for years I've been trying to say, hey, we've got an opportunity, mail only,
right,
one
yeah.
night a week, please take advantage of it. And it's underutilized. Safety, you can do mixed, you can do waterlogging, do whatever you want, mixed use, just get some exercise. Matter of fact, I was just down at my union hall a month ago talking to a bunch of retirees.
So there, it seems like there might be some opportunity to.
There's, so. I'm trying to get them to take advantage of it, even.
I don't see anything up in the pool. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying I don't think we've really spent the time to try a low performing program to say, hey, let's give it another shot. Let's give it a boost. Like, what can we do to help?
We'll work on getting the data, but the history of the program was it used to be on Sundays, and then we moved it over to Thursdays.
Did they have more attendance on Sunday?
I don't know.
Okay, well, that's another thing.
I don't know. I mean, I don't recall.
That kind of needs to be a report. How it started, what days it was, do we have any information about how many people attended?
What we've
done to support it, where it is now, what days it is now, what other things can go on at that time.
Well, I guess where I'm a little bit confused is that y'all keep calling it a program. To me, it's not a program.
A program
to me is something that you sign up for, and we have a roster for, and then we market and we make money off of, and yada yada. This is more of like open swim,
drop in.
So when you say market this program, I'm thinking.
So market.
If we want to market all the programs, we're going to need to market lap swim times.
Which we
water walk
to be
times.
Fair. I put lap swim stuff up on Facebook and I'm like, hey, look at all our great times. I'm just saying we do that for other things. Or no school come to the pool. Hey, we're doing that. We send those out to the kids. I mean, those are drop ins also that we market. So programming is, I think when we talk about programming, it's everything except for rentals.
So yeah, and so my brain is programmed differently because why? It's just different. What are you talking about? So anyway, it's a different terminology, but also a different way you look at it, because a program is something that people sign up for, and this is something people just show up for. It's just kind of like part of just open swim, lap swim, the 5:45 in the morning. It's just the same thing.
Right,
it's
but
something
and
someone's
and up. Single gender women's swim, which you would not consider a program. You do have swim lessons, which you would consider a program.
Correct.
We currently don't offer swim lessons, from what I can tell, for the male gender swim.
No, so we did. I mean, like, it used to be in the brochure saying, contact, because nobody signs up. Not a single person's asked for.
Well, it's based on availability, on demand.
Right. Yeah, it's based on demand, and the women's only kind of too, because we did not have a single person signed up for the women's only swim lessons the entire summer. Literally the entire summer, nobody signed up.
I mean, and again, that's very interesting data,
mm-hmm.
which is helpful, but as Vanessa pointed out, whether you call it a program or a drop-in or whatever you want to call it, anything that's different, so lap swim versus male only versus deep water aquatics versus team night, those are all programs that cater to a different part of our community, and they all need to be looked at fairly and equally. So if we decided that, we wanted to have a, mom-to-be program or a mother and baby program or something like that, we would look at that. And it wouldn't be, well, let's get rid of it because I hate babies. And I'm not saying that, but there actually has to be a process that's documented so that we can't be slapped by anybody saying, well, you just got rid of the mom and me because you're infertile and can't have kids or whatever it is. Because people are crazy and they will, whether you spend money for an attorney or don't, it sucks time. And so, I just think we need to be very intentful on reviewing all programs, not just the ones that tend to stick out because they're, different.
Well, I know that, for example, Teen Late Night, that didn't have any attendance for quite a while. So we started putting stuff up at the community center, tried to mark, just put some effort into it. And I just, you know, we just need to, like the Commissioner Gangler said really well, we need to treat all programming equally.
Yes. And I do not believe, I truly believe that when we made this recommendation that we truly were treating all, because this, the men's only program is the only time that we have such few attendants, and it, that, so it does make it, it sticks out on its own, not because we are picking on the men's only swim, just to be fair. So it's not like teen night, we're only having three people or two people come, or even
the- We used to until we started marketing.
But now it's great. So now the reason we made this recommendation is solely because the use, and I have staff, you know, a manager and a lifeguard, and I've got three, it's just not for a business, from a business perspective, it doesn't make sense.
But it doesn't make sense from a business perspective.
Right, so it's true.
So do we, but so, that's what I'm getting, but we, to the other programs we've marketed, we've done stuff to help it out before we pulled the rug out.
Well, yeah. That program, that when we originally started this program, both programs were marketed equally at the very same time.
But we've done nothing since then.
Well, no, but I'm just saying they were marketed.
But to be fair, Christine, the single gender female swim got attention on a local media level that the male gender swim never did. The reason that, you know, I mean, I believe that the reason we have the report from our attorney that you need to balance is because there was such a demand for the single gender swim, and there was such a community need for the single gender swim.
That's correct.
And in order to offer the single gender swim for women, we were told by our attorney that we need to offer the male gender swim. We never, I mean, yeah, it was put in the brochure, just like the single gender female swim was. But we didn't have, you know, Global to Local or Forterra or whoever.
They were at the beginning, though, they were, at the beginning, those organizations were promoting.
Yes.
Were promoting both programs.
And they
have for a number
well,
of
they,
years.
Well, they weren't promoting the male gender.
Yeah, well, they were because they were making sure that people knew so that they would attend that program to help bolster.
So I'm curious as to why we have not tried to market, even before I came or since I've been here, you know, the Facebook post or whatever, why haven't we, why have we completely left those two programs out?
Well, that's an operations question. Not a board question. We're the board. We're not, you know, although many members of us are the marketing committee.
Yeah.
We're not leading the strategy
so
on marketing.
I guess let me just I'll just ask Vanessa. Vanessa, can you please put, because there's a lot of majority of the Facebook posts you put up were did not come from operations saying, hey,
right,
can you put this up? So would you please?
Yeah, no, just like you do normally, just let me know what you want put up and I'll put up. I'm happy to have suggestions. I run out of ideas.
Yeah, so the only thing that I think would be fair to the community if we're gonna market this is that for it to have some kind of disclaimer saying that the staff may not be the same gender.
For both programs.
Yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
For both.
So. I'll try and make something. I know I owe you something for Kaiser, but I'll try and make something because, you know, it'd be cute. We can do both sides.
Yeah.
Now, there are some templates. From when they were advertising both. They were advertising them on the same template.
Who?
When the program was going on like a year, a while ago. When they were both Sunday programs, when they were both done on Sunday, they would advertise both programs on the same sheet of paper. So they were always advertised together. The switch happened. What, about a year and a half ago, I think it was, where one stayed Sunday, one went to Thursday, and then after that, I don't think that there's been any advertising either way. But the women's program is really well established and has been. You know, I'm trying to be objective here. That this is what.
Right. Well, and the
how
women's program was
done.
It started with the women's program.
That was the impetus of it.
The women's program started. And then we had to do the male program per the attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of back to that again. But again, we're going through, you know, it sounds like programming is gonna work on this, we'll look at some data, we're gonna make sure we have a process that can be replicated for other programs. and we'll talk. So do you want to put this on the agenda for April?
Well, it's going to have to be
May.
Well, the next one is due
4 months from March, from May, June, July.
I had it. The next brochure is due in August. You would want to bring this back in June.
It's due in July.
Is it due in July?
July.
Yeah.
We would have to bring it back in May because you're not going to want to, this board is not going to want to make a decision.
Okay. So May and July.
The day before. They'll want to make it, you're going to want more. So
yes, please.
We would have to do it in, we would have to start meeting in April to review this.
All right, so we'll have it on the May agenda. Okay, Mr. Pookie, what did you need
just to say? A request on anything. If you go through your evaluation process and you find that male gender is not, doesn't, it, there's not enough activity to support that, marketing a replacement through like Seniors Night Out or something for Tuckwilla Village, a program to offer them an opportunity to come to the pool as a group on whatever time it ends up being, might be a suggestion. Try and get your foot in the door more there. It's like bowling night out. Same thing.
That's a great suggestion.
Give seniors something to do.
For something in general.
Yeah.
Before ice cream.
Well, senior night out, not just for Tuckwilla Village. But
yeah.
There are seniors all over.
You can play
this. Yes, we are. Okay, so are we good on this?
Yes.
Mr. Shipman, are you good? I haven't heard anything from you all night.
Taking it all in.
Like a sponge. Another water creature. Okay, so, yes, I see that. Thank you, Ari. I'll use that momentarily as I try and find my... Okay, miscellaneous.
Do you want to?
Okay. I have one thing on miscellaneous. I just wanted to ask where we were with putting up recordings of the meetings on.
We have it on a list.
Okay.
We have not forgotten about it. So thank you for that. And it will be, it's on the list to be taken care of to have some sort of resolution by June.
Awesome.
Okay. So anybody else have any miscellaneous?
I have a miscellaneous.
Yes, Commissioner Zapadol.
So I was reviewing some of the City of Tuckwilla's community development, or whatever they want to call it, committees. And they're facing financial challenges with their capital projects. I'm sure many of you know that capital bond, they're twice, the Justice Center is now double what their estimate was. So the City of Tuckwilla's got a capital bond that we're all paying for. Anyway, the Tuckwilla staff.
Is it related to the pool?
The Tuckwilla staff identified properties to sell as suggestions to raise revenue for this, and one of them is the fire station on 144th.
Across from the high school.
Right across from the pool. They identified it. I actually contacted the mayor because I was considering like how quickly this may happen. What was the thought? And he actually didn't believe it's currently a priority. However, the staff did list it, so it's out there. One suggestion was that the TPMPD drafts a first right of refusal on that property to the city to continue community use rather than commercial development. Just as something that to have, so that we're in the conversation if suddenly they get panic and they need to get dump the property, we, you know, at least are part of the conversation rather than it all happening. And, you know, I'm not saying that we've had discussions at retreats over that property in the past and just kind of on a very high future level. It was an interesting suggestion. I thought I'd bring it to the board to see what people thought.
So I am unfamiliar with first right of refusal and how that works.
Yeah.
So maybe online you could kind of walk me through that a little bit because that's a new idea for me.
It would be with an intention of keeping it as community use versus selling it
for commercial.
For housing or something.
Yes, David.
What's the square footage? Is that sufficient to support a replacement pool?
That is something that
means just Commissioner, previous Commissioner Tyson had looked at, and he has a little bit of experience with sightings and models.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Tyson, previous Commissioner Tyson.
Oh.
And yeah, there's some issues with the size of the lot. It's there, we do have eminent domain also though, and so there was just it was an interesting suggestion. I thought I'd bring it up rather than not be part of the conversation. It would, for example, the mayor thought, oh, I didn't even think about that. You know, if there was something, I just said, hey, you know, just curious how realistic that was. You know, don't know if that's even something we're interested in, but it's certainly just to keep our options open.
Okay. Do you want to take any action on that or not?
Is there any interest at all in looking into that or not?
Do we have just one more question. Do we have a basic vision of what the replacement pool should look like?
No, we haven't.
Nothing other than a
concept. We haven't had that discussion at all.
We've had some very high level where that property came up a couple times, and that's just why I, my eyes kind of popped when I saw it was on the list, and I just didn't want it to see it go without us having a chance to talk.
Do we know if we can do, I mean,
it's
now not obviously the mayor is a friend of ours, a friend of the pool.
Yes.
So if we do a right of refusal, do we have to put on anything? Or he would just grant us,
they
would have to present it to council,
yeah.
And have to approve
the
it.
The city would have to approve it, and
okay.
Obviously we have a favorable mayor right now.
Right.
It would be a climate where, you know, they could still just look at us and go, huh.
Right.
But I just, you know, it's just one of those things. I just kept keeping your eyes open and seeing what's out there because, you know, property, we only have a lease on our property. We all know that, and we're hoping to get so, you know, cemented with the school that they can imagine us without it. But still, anyway, it was just something I brought up. So I don't know if anyone's got any interest in.
I went to a Mount Rainier pool meeting about citing three. You know, they wanted to cite it. They paid a consultant a large sum of money to come up with sightings for three different versions of the pool, and it's their landlords.
Well, what they're proposing, to be clear, is we haven't had that conversation. I mean, they're proposing,
a mini
Great Wolf Lodge,
yeah.
I mean, Lazy River, you know, the whole thing.
Right.
It's something different than what we currently have.
That's that overall vision, you know, of what you would desire. It's nothing more than a wish list of what criteria you want for that new pool, so you've got something to work off of.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, I don't want to spend a lot of effort, but if it's something, I don't think there's a big hurry on this either, so I'm happy letting everyone think about it for a little bit, and
let's
check in. Let's check in.
I'd like to have more information, excuse me, for Angela Anderson, about right of refusal, but
yeah.
Christine, I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
So before, I mean, I, if you want me to have information, that would enlighten than just that little, you know, so we have more.
Okay.
Sounds intriguing, not enough information.
Right.
I just wanted to know if there was anything, any interest, because I wasn't going to go any farther or be putting more work into it. And people are like, nah, we don't care.
Okay. So we do care, and you're going to give us more information about right of refusal.
Yeah.
One last question. Do we have the power for eminent domain?
Yes, we do.
So you do have the
ability.
Yes, we are powerful. Just kidding. Recorded.
Carefully.
Okay, so any other miscellaneous? I have a miscellaneous. I had hoped it would be on the agenda. It is not. Next month, I really need us to set up a retreat time. So just an FYI, so please don't book your May, June, I don't know what month it's going to end up in. So just please keep some time open. Okay. Any other miscellaneous? Where is my note? My statement. My quote. Executive session.
Okay, that's what you would like.
Okay. All right. So do I have a? Did I do that before? Just
You just say the board is going to recess.
Okay, so the board is going to recess into executive session per 42 RCW 42.30.110.G. Regarding, don't I have to say what it's regarding?